Get a $70 Bridgestone Visa prepaid card by mail. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Is your financial advisor truly creating value? Learn how a second opinion could save your retirement on America's Wealth Management Show with Dean Barber and Bud Casper this Saturday afternoon at 1 right here on 550 KTRS.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rail, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort. And joining me in the studio, as always, Ian Geis.
Yes.
But Dan Strauss is not here because apparently Ian took the nuclear option and got rid of Dan for the day. Filling in for Dan is former airborne traffic reporter, Tim Weiland.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm fine.
How is it having your Earth legs back after 13 years of flying?
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. I'm used to it. You know that the last time I sat in here with you in filling in for Dan, I lost my voice for 5 weeks.
I do remember that.
And I volunteered.
That's because I'm a carrier. It's because I'm a carrier.
Let me do it. Let me do it.
So I haven't seen you or talked to you since your last flight last week. And by the way, in case you missed Tim all week long, he hasn't lost his job. He just lost his airplane.
Right.
That's it.
You're grounded, mister.
He is literally grounded. Still doing traffic from here in the studio with us now. How was your last flight?
The last flight was pretty awesome. It was really crummy weather. I mean, we were borderline of not going.
Yeah, it was windy last Friday.
Well, and misty, yeah. but the ceilings were just high enough that we went. So we did a lot of some sightseeing, did some traffic in between. It was really nice. I wanted to tell you what they did for us, and I want to thank Bill Mankin, who owns Ideal Aviation over there, the FBO. At the end of the flight, and I didn't know this was going to go on here, but they brought in a lot of the former pilots that we had that got their hours, went on to the airlines, and several of them came back. And when we landed, and this was by chance because the other plane with Roger in it usually lands at 6:08, mm-hmm. and we land about 6 o'clock, or I do. But we were out by 270, and we all came in together. And then when we came in, I heard them saying something about the fire truck. And I really didn't know what they were talking about. And when we went, we taxied together up there, and they gave us the water hose, like
wow.
they do for an airline pilot when they retire.
Yeah.
And to me, Bill just showed a flair and class. That was the coolest thing. And I blubbered like a baby.
Did you?
Yeah. I'm very emotional, and it really hit me. You know, my family was there. My daughter got to take a last flight with me.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was really cool. And Bill really did a great job. He had a party for us afterwards. And I wanted to send a nice thank you out to him. That was pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah. So now I'm used to being on the ground. Actually, I kind of like my area. I get to work with Tory Lyons again. And still with KTRS, and I enjoy that. So
But you'll be in here with me on
Fridays. And I will be here every Friday.
Good, good.
And I thank you for the invitation.
Oh, you're very welcome. Good to have you here. Coming up in about 15 minutes, today's guest is an old friend of mine, a financial advisor by the name of Rick Edelman, who seems to write a book about every 18 months. And I read every one of them because they are terrific books about how to handle your money and particularly how to plan for the future. And his new book is called The Truth About Your Future, which is not about robots taking over. I thought it was. I saw that title. I went, oh, it's about the, you know, bowing down to our new robot overlords. No, the subtitle is The Money Guide You Need Now, Later, and Much Later. So Rick will be on in about 15 minutes. Excuse me. I'm just checking to make sure nothing stuck to my belly. My favorite video of the whole year.
That was that's back-to-back days. The Piscotti thing the night before,
yeah.
And then, or two nights before, and then the ball sticking yesterday.
The best part of it was when Yachty's just looking down at it.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't even grab the ball and brush it off or anything. He's looking down, and I've actually looked at this video like 9 times because somebody said, oh, it's obviously wedged in between two pieces. No, it's stuck on the front there.
Right.
I have a theory. As to how it happened. Because I've heard people saying, the pitcher's using something, Yachty's using something, somebody's using something. No. when my wife and I go out for pizza, which we do about once a week, on the way home, I always insist we go to this frozen custard place that's between the pizza place and our house. I love it. And we take it home. And we go into our house, and we go into usually in the living room, and we usually have something to catch up on TV, or you know, maybe it's just a Jeopardy or Amazing Race, which we haven't watched for this week, so don't say anything. So I sit down in my recliner, and she sits down on the couch or the other chair in there, and I sit in the recliner, and I lean back, and I take my cup of frozen custard, and I eat it. I don't think there's been a time in the last year that I haven't dripped some of that frozen custard because I'm leaning back.
Right.
I get the spoon, I put the spoon in the cup, and then I bring the spoon to my face, and some of it inevitably drips on my shirt. I have stained pretty much every shirt I have at some point. You know, take it off, run. You know, she doesn't even have to tell me what to do anymore. I just know. Get the cold water running.
The vision I'm getting in my head is George Costanza eating that fudge.
Yes. Yes. Well, I'm not getting it all over my face and hands, though.
Okay.
I just, and by the way, it's not I make a huge mess. It's just that there's one little drip there.
Yeah.
So here's my theory. I think Yachty.
In between innings?
Yes. Maybe he went to get a little snack. I'm not saying it was frozen custard. Maybe it was nachos and some of the mucilage they serve and call cheese with the nachos. Some of that so-called cheese sauce dripped onto his chest protector. And it's on there. The ball hits it. Boom! Sticks! Right there.
Well, you know what Hayward said?
What?
Hayward said that there's this, and I was listening this morning, and he said he's known that they do this, that there's this spray.
Tough skin, I think.
Tough skin.
It. Yeah.
That's it.
That was my nickname in high school.
And he said, that's what they've been knowing that's what he uses to help kill the spin on the ball if it hits his chest protector or keep it from bouncing as far in that.
What?
And
what?
He said if you spray it on there and stuff like that, it's very kind of
sticky,
but it's clear.
Yeah.
Can't tell it. You know, I'm telling you, that's what, I don't know that. And they ask Yachty, do you use something? And he goes, that's a stupid question.
That's not an answer.
But today.
Right. See, that's a non-denial denial.
That's true.
And the Cubs catcher, Kyle Schwarber, said, catchers use pine tar. He said they use it on their shin guards, different things like that. It's not, I don't think it's illegal in that case.
Right, right.
It's only illegal if you're using it to
doctor the ball.
But if the ball hits Yachty's chest protector and he's got tough skin on there, or it hits Schwarber down, you know, and the umpire doesn't take the ball out of play and he throws it back to the pitcher, then the pitcher has a substance on the ball already,
right,
giving them an advantage. You can't tell me that these guys are doing it because it cuts down on the bouncing off of their check chest protector or something else.
I don't know.
And they can get away with certain sunscreens in the summertime that they can put on their arm, and they use all kinds of tricks. Yeah. I mean, they, and I think that's why the Cubs didn't make a big deal about it, because they know everybody does.
They all do it, yeah. Yeah.
Somewhere Gaylord Perry's going, and they got me for the Emery board.
Here's what I'm really surprised. I'm surprised that the home plate umpire, after the guy reached first, didn't call timeout and wait for all of the umpires to come in and really look at it and
just
see.
Pat their hands.
Well, just study and look at it a second and say, okay, let's see what it is, and then take the ball and I'm surprised they didn't do that.
What do you want to do? Go over and pat him like it's a Buddha belly?
No.
If the umpire's hand sticks to your belly, you're going to have to change chest protectors now. Right. I didn't know about that.
I'm guessing the umps know, too, that as long as they're not, trying to doctor the ball up, like Tim said, I think they just look the other way.
I think you're right that the Cubs don't say anything about it, because they do it too.
Right.
Probably all the other major league teams do as well. Couple of other things on my desktop here. Here's a question for you. If you go to a casino, you put money in a slot machine, and there's a big jackpot that you might win, and you have a friend with you, and you say, hey, for luck, you push the button. And she pushes the button, and you hit the jackpot, who gets the money?
She does.
I think it would be whose ever money it is.
There you go.
So if you put the money in, the money that comes out is yours.
Because that would be like if somebody left their... the people prop their chairs up against a machine when they go to the bathroom or whatever.
Yes.
And there's a credit in there, and if somebody else was to walk up and hit the button and win... Whose would it be then?
The law says the person who hits the button gets the jackpot.
Really?
There's a story this week out of Florida at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. A guy by the name of Jan Flato was down there and had his friend, Marina Navarro, there. And I'll get to her in just a second. And he said to her, hey, for luck, why don't you push this? Boom! $100,000 jackpot.
Wow.
Now, I will tell you, they were in the high limit area. It was $50 a spin.
Hmm.
I think that's more than Frank puts in the machine.
Yeah.
$50 a spin to have a shot at the $100,000 jackpot. And when casino managers checked the video, it showed that she had been the one who started the slot wheels rolling. And by law, that makes her the rightful winner. So she went to the cage and got a $50,000 check and another $50,000 in cash, and then had security guards keep him away from her while she left.
Hmm.
Now let's just get into that relationship to be just a little bit deeper into this story. They had met in the high limit room of another casino. They didn't know each other there. He's a man in his mid-50s. She's a woman in her mid-30s. They met while they were having a drink in the high limit room of another casino. And they had hung out a couple of times, always in the high limit room. And this time he had invited her to come join him. And so she was nuzzling up against him while he was playing the machine. And ever since this happened, he has not heard from her, except for one text where she said, "Still hate me?" And he said, "How could you do that to me?" And she wrote, "I miss you." Which to me tells me she is still playing this guy.
Wow.
Even after taking the money. A guy from a gaming magazine who has testified as a legal expert in slots cases says the rule is universal. Pressing the spin button is really the act of making the wager. And Flato, the guy who feels like it should be his money, has gone to several lawyers, and they all said, "We're not taking the case because that jackpot money is hers. You have no chance of getting it back."
Wow.
So there's a lesson for you. If you go to any of the boats here, don't let somebody else push the button for you.
That's wild.
You pick somebody up at the bar. "Hey, come on over here. Hey, for luck, you hit this thing." Boom. Yeah. He or she gets the jackpot, not you. And now, the other story that caught my eye this week is this story out of Kansas, in Pittsburgh, Kansas. The school district there hired a new principal. by a woman by the name of Amy Robertson. And so one of the kids on the high school newspaper went to do an interview with the new principal because nobody there knew her. She was from out of town. Wasn't promoted from within, was from out of town. Student goes and interviews her. What are your credentials? Tell us about your life, blah, blah, blah. Just going to do, you know, a little story for the school paper. In the answers that the student gets from the new principal, something doesn't seem right. So she and five other students continue to do some digging, and they found out that the private college that this new principal says that she graduated from is really just a diploma mill online where you can buy a degree, a diploma, a certificate, whatever. If you go to that school's website, the links on it go nowhere. The United States Department of Education can't find any evidence of that university, Corlins, with two L's, Corlins University. No accreditation at all, ever, in its history. And so the kids kept doing some digging. They didn't go back to the principal, but they kept doing some digging. They worked on this story for about 3 weeks. And one of them found out that Amy Robertson's background goes back to a school that she had run in Dubai, a school whose license had been suspended by the Dubai Education Authority because it got unsatisfactory ratings in every score that they gave it for 5 years, and then the government of Dubai shut the school down. That's the school that this woman had run. Now, here's the amazing part about this. The Board of Education there, which this week accepted Amy Robertson's resignation, they were not going to fire her. Even after these kids found all these discrepancies and published these stories about it, the school board of education and the superintendent said, we still like her. We still think she'll be good for our school. We still want her on board. Wow. To which one of the kids who wrote this story said, look at all these red flags. If students could uncover all of this, I want to know why the adults couldn't find this.
That's pretty amazing that the students did that.
Well, I think all they really need to do is use a little thing called Google.
Yeah.
How is it possible that in the year 2017, you get an important job like that without somebody Googling you? You know, maybe your school board only has a half a dozen people. Isn't one of them the committee to check Google? Somebody should be doing that sort of stuff. So now she has, quote, resigned. And she says, I didn't do anything wrong. You know, you could be sure that this headline about her from that school newspaper made headlines of its own in other newspapers. And the next place she goes, hopefully somebody there will Google Amy Robertson.
Right.
And
right.
They'll find out a little bit more about her past. Unbelievable.
Pretty amazing.
Let's take a break here. And then when we come back, Rick Edelman will join us. He's got some great financial advice for you and really some thinking about your future, both in the American workplace and for your retirement and for all the rest of that stuff. Right after this on the Big 550 KTRS.
Boy, if you're coming into St. Louis on westbound Highway 70 or leaving St. Louis out on westbound or eastbound Highway 70, you are jammed up because of the road work. And I mean, there's major delays from just outside of Marine, Illinois through Pocahontas. So be ready for some delays there. Coming in from Illinois, westbound 5564 is slowing from 3rd Street up to the Poplar Street Bridge. You have westbound 40, Kings Highway through McCausland. Southbound 170 really jamming up now from north of Olive down through Highway 40. Southbound 270, you've got a couple slow pockets from Manchester down through 44. And it looks like on westbound 40 also, we're heavy from Highway N out through Lake St. Louis Boulevard. And this traffic report is brought to you by Ace. Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks. Your local Ace offers a selection of the best outdoor power equipment brands, plus the help you need to find the right equipment for the job. Only at Ace, the helpful place. I'm Tim Weiland from the Jack Schmidt Ford Lincoln of Collinsville Traffic Desk.
Hello, I'm Jay Randolph.
I'm Jim Thomas.
I'm Jim Holder.
I'm Jim Huer.
I'm Howard Richards.
I'm Jay Randolph Jr.
I'm Andy Strickland.
Hey, it's Brendan Weesey.
This is our team that covers your teams. For the latest information on Mizzou, the Cards, and the Blues, depend on your locally owned, locally operated radio station, the Big 550 KTRS.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in St. Louis?
If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the St. Louis area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. St. Louis is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-886-9500. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-886-9500. That's 1-800-886-9500.
Do you have Clostridium difficile infection, also known as C. diff? Doctors are conducting a clinical research study of an investigational drug to see if it helps prevent recurring episodes of C. diff. To qualify, you must be 18 or older, have C. diff for the first time, and be taking or have taken the antibiotic metronidazole or vancomycin for 10 to 14 days. All study visits, tests, and study drug will be provided at no cost, and reimbursement for time and travel may be provided. To learn more, contact Sundance Clinical Research at 314-567-3377. 314-567-3377. That's 314-567-3377.
Spring, nature's way of celebrating, and Pasiglia's Nursery and Garden Center has the decorations. Whether you need flowers around the house or a complete landscape, Pasiglia's is the premier nursery in St. Louis, located at the corner of Clayton Road and Highway 109 in Wildwood. Exquisite premium quality plants found only at Pasiglia's. Beautiful flowers, colorful hanging baskets, and gorgeous pre-arranged planters everywhere you look. Trees, plants, and perennials in full bloom are absolutely stunning. The Pasiglia's family has been in business in St. Louis for more than 65 years. The professional, knowledgeable staff will help you through the colorful and beautifully maintained nursery that may make you believe you're strolling through the botanical gardens. Their landscape division provides exquisite, elegant, refined landscapes you can definitely picture around your home. Again, they are located at the corner of Clayton Road and Highway 109 in Wildwood. This family would love for you to join in on the spring celebration. Pasiglia.com. It's Pasiglia's Nursery and Garden Center. 636-458-9202. Open 7 days a week.
Today's Real Estate Minute with Kathy Helbig. Thinking real estate as usual? Not with the experience by the Kathy Helbig Group. Kathy, what makes you and your team different than normal real estate agents?
Well, McGraw, a lot of things. Number one, we're a marketing company first, then a sales company, and we're not about the gimmicks.
What about those programs that guarantee to buy your house?
No, those are bad deals for the sellers. We just sell the house instead, and for top dollar. And that starts with a solid marketing strategy. We consult with our sellers weeks or even months ahead to help them dress their house for success, help them avoid all the buyer turnoffs, and provide advice and guidance on current market value, home styling tips, and trends that will get them the highest price.
So you're not the only agent trying to do it all?
Nope. We're a team of educated, experienced, trained realtors that handle the real estate transaction by specialty. With the experience, you can expect to be moved.
That's Kathy Helbig and the Kathy Helbig Group, 314-276-SOLD or KathyHelbigGroup.com.
Hi, David Fox here, proud founder of two St. Louis companies I started over 23 years ago, Carpet Masters and Hardwood Rescue. If you have hardwood floors that need to be refinished or repaired, look us up online at hardwoodrescue.com. We're proud members of the BBB and maintain an A-plus rating. Allow us to make your floors look brand new again at truly affordable prices. At Hardwood Rescue, we offer free estimates and evaluations. We are ready when you are at hardwoodrescue.com.
This is Stephen Gregg from the Retire Worry Free Show.
Hey, you know, many people don't understand their Social Security choices or their pension options at work or how to get income from their retirement accounts like their 401ks and IRAs.
However, they do know that they want to make sure they have enough money for as long as they live. We can help. For a free, no-obligation meeting to discuss your own retirement strategy, go to our website, steveandgregg.com. That's steveandgregg.com.
next guest has been a financial advisor for over 30 years. His company, Edelman Financial Services, now manages $18 billion for over 30,000 people across the country. I'm proud to say I knew him when he was just a baby financial advisor. I'm really happy to have him back on the show today to talk about his new book, The Truth About Your Future, The Money Guide You Need Now, Later, and Much Later. Here's Rick Edelman. Hi, Rick. How are you?
Paul, it's always a thrill to be with you.
Always a pleasure having you on here. Congratulations on the book, The Truth About Our Future. This is a book about when we get crushed by Skynet, right?
Pretty much. That's in the chapter on the dark side.
You know, you're joking about that, but you actually do talk about what technology is going to mean for us in the future, and we can get to the dark side in just a second. But let's talk about something that you call exponential technology and how that's going to impact us going forward. What does that mean?
Well, we've all heard about self-driving cars, and we've seen a lot of news about drones, a lot of us own one, but nobody's really tied together what this really means for our personal finances and our future. And that's what my book is all about. I've spent 8 years researching this subject. As a financial advisor, I'm very concerned about the future, and I want to make sure the advice we give our clients is the best possible advice that we can give. And so I've always wanted to know, how do we need to change our advice due to emerging technologies such as 3D printing, big data, artificial intelligence, machine learning, nanotechnology, material science, bioinformatics, bionics, neuroscience? What are we going to be facing in the future, and how is it going to impact our personal finances? And my research over the past 8 years has culminated in this book, The Truth About Your Future.
So am I going to have to understand each of those things just to live day to day?
No, but you do need to be aware they exist, and you need to be aware of the implication they have. And that's the first part of the book, is introducing you to these concepts and showing you what this all means for you and me. And the second part of the book is the impact on our personal finances, the changes you need to make with your insurance, your investments, your estate plan, housing, college planning, career planning, even travel and leisure and recreation are going to be affected as a result of all of this. And so the book is a broad introduction to all of it, giving you very practical advice on everything from buying cars, you really shouldn't anymore, to where you're going to live and the will and trust that you create for your family.
And you also talk a lot about education. I'm happy to say that last year, my wife and I got a big raise because my daughter graduated from college. So we didn't have to write that check anymore. But I work with Ian, who's got a 2-year-old son who probably has got to be thinking, at least I'm hoping, is thinking about the future. Ian, right?
Yes.
Maybe trying to put a couple of bucks away for Archie's future?
Yes.
But
first, change professions, and then, yes, you can cross that road.
Yeah, get out of radio,
yes,
step one.
Exactly.
And then figure out what you're going to do for him. I think Rick is going to scare you a little bit. Rick?
Oh, actually reassure a little bit, because we all know the incredible challenge of saving for the cost of college. It scares parents of young children to death. But here's the good news for you, Ian, is that college in the future is going to be free. You really don't need to be saving as much money for college as you anticipate. What you do need to be saving for instead is lifelong learning. The notion of getting a college degree at age 22 and working in a career based on that degree for 40 years is gone. Instead, we have to recognize that technology is going to eliminate the vast majority of occupations in this country. Brand new occupations are going to emerge. And that means we're going to have to continually go back to school every few years to stay current and remain viable in the workplace. And that means spending a couple of hundred grand on college is outdated, and we instead want to spend much less money on a degree so that we can engage in ongoing expenses through continuing education and lifelong learning.
All right, well, now let me dissect this a little bit here. When you say it's going to be free college in the future, for Ian, for his son Archie, that's 16 years from now. You're saying that 16 years from now, he won't have to pay for Archie's education?
Well, that's already true. You can already obtain a college degree for free. If you're an employee of Starbucks or an employee of Jeep or Chrysler, they'll already provide you a free college education as an employee benefit. In fact, at Jeep and Chrysler, they'll not only pay for your college degree at a 4-year institution, they'll pay for the degree for your spouse and your children. They'll even pay for your master's degree.
Wow.
So you can already get a college degree for free. Rhode Island, New York State, and Tennessee are already providing associate's degrees for free. So you don't have to pay for college for a two-year associate's degree in those states already. And you can take advantage of online learning. At Georgia, the Georgia Institute of Technology will give you a master's degree in information sciences for $7,000. So the notion of having to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a degree is already disappearing.
Okay, well, let's get to the other part of what you were talking about, which is this lifelong education component where you say we're going to have to go back to school multiple times during our life. Who is going to be able to take time off from a full-time job to go back to school for a year or two to learn more?
And that's the real key of this. So I'm glad you asked, Paul, because this is a major theme of the book. And in fact, it's not really the work. Let's jump ahead to the end game, and that's retirement. Retirement is disappearing as we know it. And the reason is longevity. A lot of folks figure that they're going to retire in their 60s and die in their 80s or 90s. That's not the case. Instead, you're going to live to 110 or 120. And you're going to be as healthy at age 100 as you are at age 50 because of medical advances. So you can forget about the notion of sitting in a wheelchair, living in a nursing home, drooling while staring out the window. That is not going to be your future. Instead, you're going to be as vital and physically active and healthy in your hundreds as you are in your 50s. And that means you're going to be able to work. And it's important because you're going to need to work, not only economically, but because you're going to want to remain vital and a participant in the social community and contributing to society. So you're going to want to work. However, robotics and artificial intelligence are going to eliminate most current jobs. If you're in the kind of job today where most of your work is repetitive and redundant, that job will be replaced by technology. On the other hand, if you are in the kind of a job that is creative, where you are involved in thinking, managing, and communicating, that is the kind of job that's going to survive and thrive in the future, which means you're going to go back to school periodically, and you're going to take the money that you're earning now to save up to be able to go back to school, to take a sabbatical, not for several weeks or months, but for years. And instead of waiting until retirement to be work-free for 30 years in a row, you're going to break it up into intervals. It's what we call the cyclical lifeline. Instead of the linear lifeline, where you go to school, get a job, retire, and die in that order, you're instead going to go to school, get a job, go back to school, get another job, take a sabbatical for a few years, then go back to school, get another job, back to school, get another job, and you'll do this cyclically for as long as you live. So it's going to totally upend the very nature of how we live our lives. It's going to be much more exciting. Instead of waiting until you're in your 70s for that round-the-world cruise, you'll do it in your 40s. Instead of saying, I'm missing out on my kids growing up in their young ages, you'll take off for a few years in your 30s to enjoy your children while they want to have you around. And then you'll work long into your 60s, 70s, and 80s in careers you haven't even thought of yet. And you'll have the time of your life doing it. You'll work when you want, where you want, as often as you want, making the kind of money you want, and it'll be a thrilling and enjoying and financially viable way to live.
Yeah, but how are you going to have enough money to take off? Let's say you're 35 or 40 years old. You're nowhere near even the traditional retirement age. How are you going to have time to take off a year without a job? Maybe you don't have any real savings. You started saving a little bit, but you don't have life savings that would allow you to work for a year without a job. How are people going to do that, Rick?
You don't need to have a life savings to do this, and you'll discover that lifestyles are going to change radically. The notion of the expenses that people currently incur are largely going to go away. People aren't going to own cars in the future, for example, because of the ride-sharing services that exist, Uber and Lyft as perfect examples of this. The self-driving cars that are coming on the marketplace from Google and Amazon and others are going to eliminate a major expense that people currently incur. Airbnb eliminate the need for people to spend as much money on real estate and home ownership as they currently do. So we're going to see a dramatic shift in the way people spend their money with an alternative approach to lifestyles that folks have never contemplated before.
Okay, when we started this whole thing, you joked about the dark side. Tell me what the dark side of future tech is.
Well, there are clearly issues. The number one issue is disruption. As you're discovering, Paul, this is shocking information. This is hard to digest and fathom. And the natural reaction for most folks the first time they hear about it is denial, is disagreement, because it's so radical, it's so different from what they're used to thinking. And even if it comes true, the very notion is disruption. So if you're going to give up a career to go back to school to study a new career, all that's well and good, but as you've pointed out, you've created disruption to your income. You've created disruption to your lifestyle. And disruption isn't easy. It creates uncertainties and it creates issues, and people are often resistant to change. And so this kind of disruption can be very bad for companies. For example, the best illustration I can give you is Kodak. I mean, this is a company that was 135 years old, one of the best brand names on the planet, and they filed bankruptcy in 2012 because everybody stopped buying cameras and film. I mean, when's the last time you bought a camera? It's now free in your smartphone.
Yep.
You're able to take as many photographs as you want, access them instantly, and share them with as many people as you like. That's very different from 15 years ago when you had to buy film, judiciously monitor the 12 shots you were able to take. It took you 2 days to get the film developed, and you had to spend money to do it, and you couldn't share them with anybody. All of a sudden, Kodak emerges into a digital environment, and it goes bankrupt. And the year Kodak went bankrupt, Instagram, a brand new company 18 months old with only 13 employees, is sold for $1 billion.
Yeah, you have a chart in the book about how long it took various companies to get to a $1 billion valuation. And, you know, some of them are, you know, years, some of them are decades. But in the case of Instagram, it's a year and a half.
Yeah, and that's disruption. So look at General Motors and Ford. Tesla came out of nowhere, now has a bigger market value than Ford does. So what happens when Uber starts using self-driving cars as taxi cabs? What happens to the taxi drivers? They lose their jobs. What happens to truck drivers? What happens to toll booth operators, parking garage attendants? What happens to the people who are working in a career related to the automotive industry? This is very disruptive. So that's one of the dark sides I talk about in the book, and the importance of preparing yourself for this. This is why it's so vital that you anticipate, is my job at risk of disruption? And if so, what steps can I take today to prepare myself so that I can remain viable in the workplace going forward?
Rick, I've been in the radio business for almost 40 years. Every day, I think, is my job at risk? Every single day. And you know what I'm talking about, too.
Absolutely right. I mean, we know there are a lot of radio stations that are fully automated these days.
Yeah. Any day now, a podcast is going to take my job. Let's talk about a couple of other things. This is Rick Edelman, who's a personal finance advisor. His new book is called The Truth About Your Future, The Money Guide You Need Now, Later, and Much Later. Let me talk to you about a couple of things, one of which is a pet peeve of mine that you and I discussed at lunch many, many years ago and is still going on. And I've tried to get people who do this for a living in my industry to stop, and they won't do it. I am so sick of newscasters telling me how the Dow did today. Does this bother you too?
Yes, very much so. It's annoying because it's nothing more than financial noise. By telling us every day what the Dow did, they're telling us two things. Number one, you should pay attention to it. That's why they're telling you, right? If you didn't have to pay attention, why would they tell you? That's the first wrong message, because you don't need to pay attention. And number two, what it does today, we know, is different from yesterday and different from tomorrow, which reinforces the misconception that the Dow is always changing, that it's ever volatile, that it's risky and unpredictable. None of that is true. If you look at the performance of the Dow over a period of decades, if you look at it over a 10-year period, 20-year period, 30 or 40-year period, there is remarkably little volatility. The Dow has always been profitable in any 15-year period or beyond. And so focusing on it on a day-by-day basis is utterly irrelevant, serves no useful purpose, and I explain why in the book, on my chapter on investment strategy, I show you exactly how to manage your money today for the 21st century.
I guarantee you there's no newscaster, TV, radio, or otherwise today who is saying, and the Dow is down 0.03%, 0.03%. They never do that. They give you the raw number without telling you where the Dow actually stands and what a percentage is and all of that stuff. There's no perspective offered on that.
Well, let's keep in mind, these are broadcasters whose careers are in journalism and communication. They are not financial experts. They're reading off a teleprompter. They don't know what they're saying this stuff, and they don't know what it means either.
And they don't have a long-term focus, which I think a lot of people don't have in their daily life. They're not thinking ahead to next week, next month, next year, next decade. A lot of the stuff that you talk about in the book does that, but I would bet you have people coming into your office all the time who aren't thinking about where they're going to be 10, 15, 20 years from now and what they should do financially to get there.
There's no question. People suffer from short-termism. There are a lot of folks, for example, who are very upset about Donald Trump being the president. There are other people who are extraordinarily excited about Donald Trump being the president. Those who are upset want to sell their stocks and run into a hole in the ground. Those who are excited want to load up on stocks because they're bubbling with enthusiasm. Both groups are wrong, because no matter whether you love Trump or hate him, he's gone in 4 years, maybe 8 years, but you're going to be alive for 50. It doesn't matter who's the president right now. The long-term impact on your portfolio is nil. So there's too much emphasis on the short term, and a 4-year presidency, an 8-year presidency, is in fact short term.
Rick, I got an email from a listener named Stacy. I promoted that you were going to be on the show today on Twitter, and she asked me to ask you. She says, I heard you on with Paul several years ago, and you said I should never pay off the mortgage on my house. Do you still believe that?
Yes, very much so.
Why?
Well, it's a big Americanism, you know, pay off your home, own your home outright. It's the American dream. And that used to be true in the 1930s and 40s, but it's no longer true today in today's economic environment. In fact, a mortgage is one of the safest, smartest financial strategies you can use. It actually increases your safety and helps you achieve your financial goals. Why? Because every dollar you use to pay off a mortgage is a dollar you didn't invest. And that's the crux of the issue. Your house is going to grow in value whether there's a mortgage or not. The mortgage has no impact. Mortgage rates are about their lowest in history. 4% you can get a mortgage, 4.25%. And yet if you look at the 30-year average of the investment world, I'm willing to bet you can generate a higher return than what the mortgage is costing you. And best of all, by not throwing the money into the mortgage, instead keeping it in your bank and savings and investment accounts, you have access to that money. If you ever lose your job, if you ever need the cash for a medical crisis or any other reason, as we've discussed earlier, you want to go back to school and give up your job, that cash helps you pay your bills. If you've given that money to the lender, you'll never see that money again. It won't help you support and sustain your lifestyle. So I've got a 90-minute seminar on 11 great reasons to carry a big long mortgage. I've only shared just 3 of them with you. Mm-hmm. So yes, carrying a big long mortgage is one of the smartest, safest strategies you can use.
Do you think that the mortgage interest rate tax break is going to stay?
Yes. We don't see any evidence of it going away at the moment. And that tax break is another of the 11 reasons. In fact, it's a very powerful motivator. It's the government's way of saying we believe in home ownership and we're helping to subsidize your purchase of that home. And that's another reason for doing this. There's no suggestion by the president that he's going to eliminate that tax break.
All right. Last thing I want to ask you about, Rick, is something that a lot of people don't think about. And even people who are listening to us today and saying, you know, I don't really have money. I'm not investing. I don't know any of this stuff. But there is a new thing that has come into their lives in the last 10 years, thanks to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all the rest. And you cap it up in a 2-word phrase called digital assets. Explain what people, just like in shorthand, what people should know about their digital assets.
Well, we all know when we die, we leave our assets to our kids, but increasingly, your assets are online. You used to have photo albums in the closet. Now your photos are on Facebook and Pinterest and other social media sites. You're doing banking online. You have investment accounts online. And all of those are password protected. When you die, how will your family access your Facebook account? How will they grab those photographs? If you don't provide a way for the passwords to be passed down, those assets disappear. So you've got to update your estate plan, your will, to include your digital assets. It's a big chapter in my book, and it's a huge element of how life is changing in a digital world.
And by the way, if you have kids or grandkids, make sure that somebody has their information too. Again, my daughter, 22 years old, she lives her life online. All of that stuff you're talking about lives in the cloud. And I told her, you know what? What if something happens to you and we want to be able to access that or your accounts, financial and otherwise? We need to have that information. Well, I don't want to give it up, you know, for privacy reasons. I don't want to give up that sort of stuff. Well, somebody has to have it. So if something does happen, we can get to it.
Right. And that's a woman whose 22-year-old daughter was killed in a tragic auto accident. And when she informed Facebook, because she tried to gain access to it, Facebook responded by deleting the account.
Mm.
And the woman said, it was as though I'd lost my daughter a second time.
Wow.
So this is just a really horrible scenario. Facebook has made changes now where you can give Facebook permission to let so that other family members can access the account. Twitter does the same thing, and so do many other social sites. But you need to take proactive steps to provide those permissions to loved ones.
Just one of the things you're going to learn when you pick up this great book, it's called The Truth About Your Future, The Money Guide You Need Now, Later, and Much Later from the man who, by the way, is this number one on Amazon already?
It is, and we just found out it's also hit the New York Times bestseller list on its debut.
Wow. Congratulations, my friend. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Paul.
Rick Edelman here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
All right, there is a new accident now. No one is with it as of yet. It's on southbound Highway 270 right at Ladue. It's on the left shoulder. You can expect the left lane's going to be blocked when they get emergency vehicles there. You're already backed up north of Page. Then you're heavy again from Highway 40 down through Doherty Ferry. We had an earlier incident on southbound 270 before 55. That's been cleared, but it looks like you're still running pretty slow from 44 through about Tesson Ferry. Eastbound 70 downtown is really jamming up. It looks like right around Salisbury, and that goes through down to 55. Eastbound 40 drivers slowing now from Grand to the Poplar Street Bridge. This traffic report is brought to you by Mederma. Own your skin. Get fast-absorbing, multi-purpose Mederma quick-dry oil and improve the look of skin, scars, and stretch marks. Save $3 in your Sunday paper. I'm Tim Weiland from the Jack Schmidt Ford Lincoln of Collinsville Traffic Desk.
Live and local.
The Big 550 KTRS.
Streaming live at KTRS.com.
JJS Floor, located at 2301 Gravoy in the heart of the city, has a tremendous reputation for not only servicing residential customers, but also commercial, institutional, and industrial clients as well. And did you know that they are also a favorite of real estate and rehab investors because of their low prices and quick service? Part of JJS Flooring's secret is not only that they have been in business for over 30 years, but they deal directly with the manufacturers to get you the best prices. And their service is second to none. JJS Flooring has the largest warehouse in the city and stocks all the most popular flooring. So if you're ready for new flooring, contact them today at 314-772-3996 or on the web at jjsfloor.com. Let JJS show you how they can save you money. Shop the city and save. JJS Flooring. Like them on Facebook.
Now at Firestone Complete Auto Care, buy a set of four eligible Bridgestone tires and get a $70 Bridgestone.